Hallelujah. How's y'all's week so far? Blessed. Amen. Amen. I want to pray, and I want to get into the word that God's given me to share tonight. Father, we love you. Father, wash over us with your word tonight. Let it just help bring a fresh perspective of your word, Father. I pray it opens up hearts, God, and ears to hear. Just do your work with it, Father. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to share this, and I thank you for just the atmosphere in this place. Thank you for the love in this place. We praise you, God. We thank you for this week. Thank you for the encounters that we've already had. Thank you for positioning us and placing us and shifting us and moving us around and doing what you do, Father. We love you, God. Open up our ears to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Like I said last night or earlier, I had planned to really kind of tighten this thing up last night. And I got home and Amber handed me the baby, and that was it. By 9 o'clock, I'm like, hey, honey. No, I was able to work on it. I've been chewing on this for a little while. Hey, last Wednesday, Brother Wallet, Brother Tony, your word was fantastic about prayer. You know, I came to him and asked him about bringing a message on prayer in this series about being relevant in our communication with the Father. Is so important. It is absolutely vital. Tonight I want to talk about the next thing that happens with Esther. Did you guys go read Esther? I love the story of Esther. That's what we've been really diving into. We've been diving into Esther and Psalms is where we've been camping out at. And we're seeing, I want to talk about choice tonight. I love choices. I'm pretty particular about certain things in my life. You know, a mattress. I am very particular about mattresses. You know, when it comes to shopping for mattresses, I can't stand it. My wife just cringes at the thought of having to go shop for mattresses with me. Because I'm the kind of guy, I'm going to go to every single store in Burleson, anywhere that's local, that has mattresses, and lay on every mattress because I'm picky about my mattress. And you've got to be, right? And then once I get done shopping for mattresses and lay on every single possible mattress, after a full day of it, then I take a step back and kind of do it again, kind of pick up a couple more stores and go back to them. And then we start negotiating. Because you got to negotiate. Some suckers are expensive. Another thing I'm very picky about in my choices is when it comes to chairs, office chairs. I am extremely picky when it comes to office chairs. You know, I sit in them all day long, so I want a comfortable chair. Last year, I went to buy a new chair. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to order one on Amazon. And so I study and I read the reviews, and I read the reviews, and I look at the stars. I look how many stars they've got. You know, I read over and over and over, and I do my due diligence with my chairs. And I finally pull the trigger on a chair. I get it in. I get the box in at work, and I unbox it, and it takes me 30, 45 minutes to sit in it. And I just sit in it and just, nope, that ain't going to work. Take that sucker back apart. 45 minutes, I put my box back off and ship it off. So then I'm like, okay, that didn't work. So then I go and what do I do now? I order another one. I'm like, well, that didn't work. So I go in and I spend another 45 minutes putting it together when it comes in, and I just sit down in it. Yep, that ain't going to work either. And then I box that sucker up and I ship it back. At this point, everybody in my office is like, you need to just go staple. You just sit in all the chairs. And so that's what I did. I sat in all the chairs. I'm picky. Because I'm going to sit in that sucker all day long, right? So I finally land on pretty much the exact same chair that I had before. All right. So another I get in there, and another thing I'm picky about is with my vehicles. Anybody that's close to me knows that I'm going to spend a couple of months looking at vehicles. Everything I have on my Facebook is all about vehicles because I want the best deal. But I'm spending a lot of time in these things, so I like choices. And I think about that, and I was looking at all that, and I saw how Esther made it. Finally was presented a choice in this story. And that's where I want to land this morning or this evening. I want to start out with the first part where Esther actually has a choice. I want us to turn to Esther chapter 2. I want to read some scripture tonight. Esther chapter 2, and we're going to start with verse 8. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the care of Haggai. Esther also was taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. Again, we don't see a choice with Esther yet. It just happened. It was moved into position. She didn't have a choice to go to the king. It was that's what it was. She was chosen. She's got to go. All right. Verse 9 says, she pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with a beauty treatment and special food. He assigned to her 7 female attendants, selected from the king's house, and moved her and the attendants into the best place in the harem. I love how when we're really going after God's will and we're in God's placement, just shifting and going along, how favor just kind of lands at our feet. I love that. I just got onto a new lease, and you know that they were, when I went over there to find the spot that they were going to place me at, me and my brother and the guy that heads the lease, he said, I think I'm going to put you over this spot. Mark was like, are you talking about so-and-so spot? And he's like, yeah, that's the spot I'm going to. So we went out there. Mark's like, everybody wanted this spot. Favor. Come on. I love it. It's just little things. So she found favor. And verse 10 says, Esther had not revealed her nationality or family background because Mordecai had forbidden her not to do so. Every day, he walked back and forth near the courtyard in the of the harem to find out how Esther was doing. What was happening to her? What was happening to her? Before the young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatment prescribed for the woman, 6 months with oil and myrrh, and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Now I love this, and I've preached on this a few times, but it's because it's such an element of this story, and it's probably one of the most key elements of the story of Esther. These next few scriptures are absolutely vital that we get a hold of. It says, and this is how this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given to her. Take with her from the harem to the king's palace. So she had anything she wanted, anything. In the evening, she would go there. In the morning, return to another part of the harem to take to the care of Shishgags, whatever, the king's eunuch who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name. When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked nothing other than what Haggai. She asked nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to the king to King Xerxes and the royal residence in the 10th month, the month of Tabith, in the 7th year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to her more than any of the other women. She won his favor and approval more than any other virgin. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Amen. You see this thing where Esther found favor. It was amazing. And then you see this choice that she had. She asked Haggai, what does the king like? What does the king like? Now see, we come into this church. See, let me back up. Haggai is with the king. Haggai has spent time with the king. He knows what he likes, he dislikes. Haggai has been around him. He's listened. He studied the king. We think about that, how she went to Haggai and said, what is the king like? What is he like? And we see this question going to Haggai. You know what Haggai sounds like in this scripture? Kind of sounds like a pastor. See, the pastor has spent time with the king, studied what the king likes, what the king's desire is, and he tries to share it. Amen. That's what I do. I want to share what the king likes. Brother Tony, when he came in, he shared what the king likes. You know, anybody that comes up on this pulpit and shares, Miss North, you, Tony, okay? Anybody that's come up here and has preached a message and shared has spent time with the king. Because we want to convey what the king likes. So we spend time in the Word. Miss North, I know you spend time in the Word. Every time you put a message out with our praise team, with the scripture in there, it's set up. You want people to feel it. You want people to see it because you want people to know what the king likes. Yeah, that's what you preach on. When you preach, that's your heart. I know everybody knows you. Anybody talks to you personally feels that from you. Now, see, the thing is we come into this place on Sundays at church. And we come in here. We have the same concept as Esther did. We have that same question. What is the king like? That's why we come here on Sunday, to hear the Word of God, because that's what our faith comes from, is hearing the Word of God. Amen? So we hear a message preached. We hear the Word of God preached. And it's our responsibility, whether we're going to take that or not receive that. Now, see, I want to share this with you. We can come in here and miss what is being preached. Now, I've talked about this before, but it's important to do it as part of this message in this series. You know, we can come in here and hear a message and miss what is preached. How many times do you walk out of here and can't really remember exactly what the pastor preached? Don't try to lie. Everybody, why you walk out of here, okay, and we forget. Right? Come on, don't lie. Be in church. Okay? See, the thing is there's a thing that happens. It's a normality what happens. See, for me as pastor's son, growing up with my mom and dad, I learned, because I was getting chewed out, I learned to tune them out. So when they became pastors, guess who had to learn to tune them in? As pastor, so I had to. I was challenged because I'm always hearing that voice. So I had to challenge. I had to get challenged. I had to challenge myself to really tune in, to listen to the Word, to grab it, because I'm so used to hearing that voice. Amen. Well, same thing with Brother Tony. When you come up here, well, Miss Wallace and Miss North, that's your brother. So you're always hearing them. You hear his voice. He talks, and he can talk. And so you're used to hearing his voice. And so what he is conveying about what the king likes can be missed because there's this normality of his voice, of the word that's being created because of just who. This is what happens with all of us. We can miss a word that we so desperately need. Now, see, I want to talk about this chair for a moment. Let me make sure I'm on my word. No, James chapter 1, 22 says, we can't just be listeners of the word. We got to be doers of the word. Amen. And we find ourselves a lot of times just being listeners. And we come into church and we miss what is being preached and what is being taught. Because, well, there's the normality thing that happens. And there's also the fact that, well, we are tired sometimes. Wednesdays, we are tired. It is tiring sometimes getting from 9 to 5 in your work day or 4 o'clock in the morning to whenever, however early you got to get up. These days get long, so we all get, so coming in Wednesday nights and on Sundays, having a long day Saturday, trying to come in on Sundays, we're tired sometimes. And it's hard to really zero in. I love this chair. Now let me get into this chair. I love this chair. This is an incredible chair. I've had this chair for about 15 years. I've had it for a long time. You can tell it's got some cracks. It's got some worn stuff. This chair is amazing. I can't tell you how much I love this chair. I've had a lot of prayer time in this chair, a lot of nap time in this chair, a lot of study time. I love this chair. Let me tell you, this is my chair, okay? I've asked to get rid of it a couple of times. Nope. My chair. My chair. This is my comfortable chair. About 15 years ago, I was working on a lady's house, and she came to me and she said, and this was a lower income house, rough, okay? And she said, would you like a chair? And I was like, polite. I said, what you got? What you got? I wasn't going to commit, but I wanted to just, okay, sell it to me. Show me something. So she presents this chair to me, and she starts telling me about this chair. She had experienced this chair for a long time. It was her dad's chair. Her dad swore up and down about this chair and how amazing it was, how comfortable it was. This was his favorite chair. So she went along with that same thing, and she was telling me how comfortable this chair was. She loved this chair. It was an incredible chair. It was an amazing chair. It's the most comfortable chair you'll ever sit in your entire life. It was incredible. It was amazing. Okay? Bliss when you sit in it. On and on. It's funny because she described this chair kind of like sometimes when we're describing and we're preaching the message. This week, Pastor, you've been studying this word and you are excited about this word. You've lived this word, so you are pumped about this word. Tony, you are pumped about preaching Wednesday night because you've been studying it, you've been in it, you've been all up in it. You were ready for to share that message. Because you were excited. And so the whole time we're preaching, Dad, you're preaching, we're trying to tell people how amazing the Word of God is. How amazing this chair is. She's telling me this. She said, how amazing this chair. She's telling me. Just like Pastor does. Just like I'm doing right now, preaching the Word, talking to you. I get excited about it. Miss North, when you get ramped up on Sundays, you are telling people about the King and how good it is. You are trying to describe the King. Amen. So this whole time we're describing it, she's telling me this. And then she tells me something, the next thing, and let me make sure I'm not missing anything in my notes because I don't want to miss in my notes. It's so good. Hang on. Okay, so good. Got it. we've come into the church, right? Okay, we're hearing the message. I'm hearing this lady sell me on this chair. Tell me how amazing it is. And then she tells me something. After I'm looking at it, I got this face on me, like, you know, okay. Kind of like, Pastor, how some people have a face when you're preaching. You know what I'm talking. Okay, all right, all right. And she said, then she tells me, she goes, she just said this, she goes, just shut up and sit in it. Oh, okay. Well, just let me just sit in it then. Just let me, you know. Okay, now here's the thing. I look at this story about Esther, and I see this moment. There's a scripture that says that she had everything that she could have done on her own. She could have had all the nice, fancy things. But she went to the Haggai, the king's unit, somebody that has been with the king, knows what the king likes, and is all up in it. She says, what is the king like? So here's the choice that she had. Do I sit in that word that he's telling me? Do I take that word and actually grab a hold of that word and actually listen to that word, or do I just go on my own way and do my own thing? And see, I had my choice there. I could have just went like, yeah, no, that's wonderful. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your chair. Like a lot of times, sometimes we do on Sundays. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the opportunity to show me that word. I think I'm going to do my own thing. Come on. And then she told me, she just showed him a suit, didn't it? You know, come on, listen to me. Sometimes we just got to shut up and sit in it. We just got to sit in it. Oh. Pastor, you want to sit in this chair? Oh, it's so comfortable. No, Brother John, come sit in this chair. Come sit in this chair. Come tell me how comfortable this chair is. I know it's got some cracks in it. This ain't part of my message. Just sit in this chair real quick. Just sit in that chair. That's pretty comfortable, isn't it? Yeah, see? That's what I'm saying. So Esther, we see Esther doing that exact thing. She grabbed a hold of that word. And she sat in it. She took what the heck I was saying, and she grabbed a hold of that word. Then what happened is, said she found favor. See, the thing is, when we test it out, the Word of God tells us to test it. Test the word. John 4:1 says, test the word to make sure it's from God. That 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, test all things. Test those words. And so we sit in that word for a minute, we listen to it, we grab a hold of it, okay? We're checking this thing out to make sure it's what the Word of God is. And that's what I encourage all the time from you is don't just take my word for it. Really go home and read it. That's why I've been telling you. Read Esther. Read Psalms 91. Sit in it. Sit in it for a little while. Sit in it for a little while. Esther said in it, she said, okay, all right, and it says she found favor with everybody she saw. But then, when it was really time to get into the king's chamber, really go before the king, was she going to go back and do what she's going to bring, wear what she wants to wear, do what she wants to do, or is she going to continue listening? See this, now here's the part where I had the choice on this chair. I sat in it, it was amazing, I felt it to be real what they were saying. Now I had a choice, do I really want to take this thing home or not? Do I really want to mess with this thing? Well, thank God I did, because I found one of my favorite chairs that I love. And I brought this thing and I sat in it. Esther found that word from the Haggai to be so true, so impactful. She was so hungry for something in her life, and she said, I want nothing but what the king likes. She listened to that word. She said in that word. She took that word home. And so the moment when she was going before the king, you know, if Esther decided she was going to do her own thing and make her own choices and go after her flesh and do what she's always been doing and what she's always dressed, the way she's always done, things that she likes, she's common to. If she would have done all that, went back and not listened to what Haggai said and the word that was being preached and being taught, you know what she would have done? I don't think the book of Esther would have been in the Bible. She asked a question, what does it seem like? And she sat in that word. She grabbed a hold of that word. She took that word home. And so what happened is when she got to before the king, she found unbelievable favor. And what happened? She was crowned queen. See, the thing is that one word on a Sunday morning, it could be an open door, it could be a breakthrough moment, it could be an absolute revelation for your family. We have to come into this place, opening up the Word of God, hungry. What do you like, God? What is the King like? And when we read those scriptures, don't just read them once or twice. Dive into it. You know, I haven't been all over the spectrum on our scriptures here in this season of the series we've been in. I've camped out in Psalms 91, one chapter, one book in Esther. I haven't gone all over the Bible. I've brought some scriptures in, but I wanted to be camped out in this because I wanted to kind of sit in it. I wanted to read up in Psalms 91. I wanted all of us as a body to dive into that chapter, to dive into Esther for a season. So we can sit in it, not just sit in it on a Wednesday night, but take it home and sit in it. Take it home and study in it. Take it home and really dive into it so we can really get it into our hearts. So it's not just a one-time thing. It's a season that we're in this thing. So that way, you know, 6 months from now, 9 months from now, God can bring a revelation back to you of something that's going on in your life and, oh, I just need to really listen to the Word of God. God's called me to this time. God's called me to this place. I am relevant. I do have a purpose. And that's why we sit in that Word and grab a hold of it and take it home, just like Esther did. She dove into that Word. What is the King like? She got all dressed up, to find all the colors, all the dress colors, everything, the hairstyle, everything, what the King likes. So when she walked into that king's chamber, she found favor, and the doors began to open. Opportunity began to happen. It positioned her to the next phase, the next thing that was to happen. I'm going to dive into that a little bit more next week. But I want us to go back and look. I asked you guys about Psalms 91. I asked you guys a question about what do you see when you read that chapter? What's the overall? So we can dive into a chapter and take a scripture here and a scripture here, and that's powerful, and those are amazing scriptures to dive into. But what happens when we take a whole chapter and really dissect and really look at the whole thing and take it as a whole, not just a little individual scripture here or a little individual scripture here, but take it as a whole. What are we seeing in that chapter? See, a lot of times, I've always looked at that chapter as a declaration chapter, and there is declaration in that, and it is powerful. But we see something that actually happens in there at the very first word, whoever, or very first chapter, verse, that says, whoever says this. Then it goes down and says, if you say, what verse is that one? Let's see here, hang on. I will say. No, I will say, but there's another one here. Let me go down to 9. Verse 9. If you say, the Lord is my refuge. Whoever says, so the whole chapter, it's a choice. If you choose to dwell, if you choose to get into the presence of the Lord, this is what's going to happen. If you say, I will trust you, God, if you say it, if you do this, it's a choice. See, we look at this. Look at Esther, and it's a choice that comes down for all of us. How are we going to live our lives? How are we going to receive that word? I want to be all about the King's business. So when we come into the service, when we open up God's word, we've got to say, what is the King like? And choose to sit in it. Choose to apply it into our lives. Choose to dive into that word. Study that word. Apply it into our lives. Because when we do that, that's when the game changes. That's when the breakthrough happens. That's when we find rest. It says, whoever dwells in the presence of God, whoever does that, whoever makes a choice to do that, you're going to find rest. Whoever chooses to get up into that prayer time, to get up into the Word of God, you're going to find that peace and that rest and that boldness that we need on a daily basis. Because the enemy's coming at us at every single angle nowadays. And he's trying everything to distract us, to tell us we don't have purpose, to tell us all we are ever going to be is this. And it's further from the truth. We have got to learn, guys, to when we come in on Sundays, listen, grab a hold of that word, test it, chew on it, meditate on it. Find out if it to be true. Get into that word, test it. Don't just let it fall to the ground. Because I promise you, we really will grab a hold of God's word and really listen to what's being preached, our faith is going to grow. I promise you, breakthrough is going to happen in your life. You're going to see opportunities come your way at work to share the gospel. Opportunities to share the gospel at the grocery store, because there's a hunger that's being stirred up in you, because you're really grabbing a hold and you're sitting all up in the word. It's a game changer. And it's your choice. It's our choice. What are we coming here on Sundays to grab a hold of it or not? It's your choice. It's my choice. My choice. I want to be completely wrecked by God on Sundays. I want my toes stomped. I want to be challenged. I want to be told, hey, what you're doing probably isn't the right thing. What if you do it this way in the Word of God? This is what the Word of God says about it. I want to be challenged. That's what we all should be. You know, Esther came into this thing, and this is a pivotal moment in Esther chapter 2, where she goes before Haggai and says, okay, I can have all these things, all this stuff, everything is on the table. I can have anything and everything. And that's all fine and dandy, but what is the King like? What does the King like? And that's our heart. We have got to have that heart. Coming into church, what is the King? Sit in that word and let that word do what it does. Let that word have breakthrough in your life, breakthrough in your family, breakthrough in your marriage, breakthrough in your relationship with your kids, because that's what it does. Amen. Let it do what it's going to do. Hallelujah. I say that, and I want to close on this thing, is God has called each one of you in this season for this time. And I promise you, he's doing everything he can to fight tooth and nail. I want to encourage you, even over the next week, as we're going to close out this series next week with a passage in Esther. I want to close out with a certain area. And God's already given us something, given me something for go into after that. But the whole purpose of this series was for us to understand our purpose and understand that positioned us for such a time as this. God's positioned us. And is doing amazing things, and we got to trust Him. He's working behind the scenes, just like in chapter 1, where we don't even know what's going on. Just like in chapter 1 with Esther. We see it. Esther's not even mentioned, but yet there's this grand setup that's happening. I'm going to tell you, God is setting up amazing things for each and every one of us behind the scenes. And sometimes we don't even know what's happening. Esther had no idea. She was just living her life, but God was moving and doing. Esther then got shifted in Esther's life when with her mother and father passing away. I'm not saying it was the God's will for that death to happen, but God used that death of her mother and the father to shift her and to place her into something new. Come on. God shifted us in all our past. And Psalm 91 says, I will say, I trust you. That's how we got to say, God, I trust you. I see you. We can say it with our mouths about the future, but what about our past? God, I trust you that you shifted things back there. God, I trusted you. I trust you that you shifted my past. I trust you that you put me in this position today. I trust you that you put me a new life today. I trust you that you put me at the work today. And you shifted everything in the past to get me right here. I trust you. When God shifts and positions, and just like Esther, He shifted and positioned, and then there's a time where it comes where, okay, we've got to make a choice. Are we going to really listen to God's word and really apply it into our lives all the way 100%, or are we just going to halfway do this thing? Come on. I'm telling you, the word of God's going forward. We've got to grab a hold of it. And it's our choice, our responsibility, to listen to it, to chew on that word, to let it resonate, to sit in that word. Amen. And let it do amazing things, because I promise you, that's what it does. When we let it resonate, when we chew on what God has been speaking, what the King likes, when we sit there and meditate on that, on God's word, see, it doesn't leave a lot of room for all the other lies that are being spread around and that our brain can chew on. Amen. Because our brain can go all kinds of crazy places. But when we're meditating on the Word of God, we're really allowing that Word that was preached to really develop in us, that Word that was preached, that Word that we read on a Wednesday morning or Tuesday morning in our Bible study time, when we choose to let that Word resonate and dive into some Scripture, man, I'm telling you, that's when the breakthrough happens. So I just want to encourage you tonight, let the Word of God do what it does. Resonate. Sit all up in that Word. Take that Word home. Because I promise you, that decision of tuning in on a Sunday can have lasting results. The message that you tune in and grab a hold of, you may not really have the effects right away, but 15 years later, it may come up. Come on! Could be a message that sticks with you for 15 years, 20 years. But you've got to take it home. You've got to take it home. And sit all up in it. And as I'm telling you, that's what God's Word does. Amen? That's good. That's good. God's Word is good. When we into these Scriptures, man, it opens. Breakthrough happens. Okay, I'm just repeating myself all over, so I'm just keep on going. Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight. Brother Tony, you didn't have to acknowledge that. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. God, I love you. Lord, I thank you for tonight. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that it just becomes, let it be refreshing to our spirits, God. I thank you for the opportunity for your word to speak it. Lord, I love you. God, as we continue in this series, Lord, I pray you just continue to speak to hearts, God. Do your work with it, Father, with this word. I thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now, next Saturday,